Shanti. 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 That is the longest piece I shall read. I shall now take one of my aerial poems. Aerial Poems was the title of a series of poems which included many other poets as well as myself. These were all new poems which were published during 4 or 5 successive years as a kind of Christmas card. Nobody else seemed to want the title afterward, so I kept it for myself, simply to designate the 4 of my poems which appeared in this way. Journey of the Magi is obviously a subject suitable for the Christmas season. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels, galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling, and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out, and the lack of shelters, and the cities hostile, and the towns unfriendly, and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and 3 trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, 6 hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago. I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this, where we led all that way for birth or death. There was a birth, certainly, we had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. Triumphal March originally appeared in this series too, but I took it out of the series because I meant it to be the first of a sequence in the life of a character who appears in the first part as young Cyril. It's rather difficult to read. I ought always to go into training for several weeks before attempting it. And anyway, what I want to read you is the second section, which is called Difficulties of a Statesman. A subject of interest to everybody. Cry, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Comprehending the companions of the bath, the knights of the British Empire, the cavaliers, O cavaliers of the Legion of Honor, the Order of the Black Eagle, first and second class, and the Order of the Rising Sun. Cry, cry, what shall I cry? The first thing to do is to form the committees. The consultative councils, the standing committees, select committees and subcommittees. One secretary will do for several committees. What shall I cry? Arthur Edward Cyril Parker is appointed telephone operator at a salary of £1.10 a week, rising by annual increments of 5 shillings to £2.10 a week, with a bonus of 30 shillings at Christmas and 1 week's leave a year. A committee has been appointed to nominate a commission of engineers to consider the water supply. A commission is appointed for public works, chiefly the question of rebuilding the fortifications. A commission is appointed to confer with a Volscian commission about perpetual peace. The Fletchers and javelin makers and smiths have appointed a joint committee to protest against the reduction of orders. Meanwhile, the guards shake dice on the marches, and the frogs, omantuan, croak in the marshes. Fireflies flare against the faint sheet lightning. What shall I cry, mother? Mother, here is a row of family portraits, dingy busts, all looking remarkably Roman, remarkably like each other, lit up successively by the flare of a sweaty torchbearer yawning. Oh, hidden under the, where the dove's foot rested and locked for a moment, a still moment repose of noon set under the upper branches of noon's widest tree, under the breast feather stirred by the small wind afternoon. There the cyclamen spreads its wings, there the clematis droops over the lintel. Oh, mother, not among these busts, all correctly inscribed. I, a tired head among these heads, necks strong to bear them, noses strong to break the wind. Mother, may we not be sometime almost now together? If the mactations, immolations, oblations, impetrations are now observed, may we not be, oh, hidden in the stillness of noon, in the silent croaking night, come with the sweep of the little bat's wing, with the small flare of the firefly or lightning bug, rising and falling, crowned with dust, the small creatures chirp thinly through the dust, through the night. Oh, mother, what shall I cry? We demand a committee, a representative committee, a committee of investigation. Resign. And that was as far as I got with that poem. Now, before I come to the last poem I want to read, I'll give you these short landscapes as being something in a lighter vein. New Hampshire. Children's voices in the orchard between the blossom and the fruit time. Golden head, crimson head between the green tip and the root. Black wing, brown wing, hover over. 20 years and the spring is over. Today grieves, tomorrow grieves. Cover me over, light in leaves. Golden head, black wing, cling, swing, spring, sing, swing up into the apple tree. Virginia. Red river, slow flow, heat is silent, snow will is still as a river, still will heat move, only through the mockingbird heard once, still hills wait, gates wait, purple trees, white trees, wait, delay, decay, living, never moving, ever moving, iron thoughts came with me and go with me. Red river. Usk in Wales. Do not suddenly break the branch or hope to find the white heart behind the white well. Glance aside, not for Lance, do not spell old enchantments. Let them sleep. Gently dip, but not too deep. Lift your eyes, where the roads dip and where the roads rise. Seek only there, where the grey light meets the green air. The hermit's chapel, the pilgrim's prayer. Rannoch by Glencoe in the Scottish Highlands. Here the crow starves. Here the patient stag breeds for the rifle. Between the soft moor and the soft sky, scarcely room to leap or soar. Substance crumbles. In the thin air, moon cold or moon hot, the road winds in listlessness of ancient war. Languor of broken steel. Clamor of confused wrong, apt in silence. Memory is strong beyond the bone. Pride snapped, shadow of pride is long. In the long pass, No concurrence of bone. And finally, Cape Ann in Massachusetts. Oh, quick, 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 hear the song sparrow, swamp sparrow, fox sparrow, vesper sparrow at dawn and dusk. Follow the dance of the goldfinch at noon. Leave to chance the blackburnian warbler, the shy one. Hail with shrill whistle the note of the quail, the bobwhite dodging by baybush. Follow the feet of the walker, the water thrush. Follow the flight of the dancing arrow, the purple martin. Greet in silence the bull bat. All are delectable, sweet, sweet, sweet. But resign this land at the end. Resign it to its true owner, the tough one, the seagull. The palaver is finished. And now, to end with, I want to take a bit out of the four quartets. There is not time to read you a whole quartet, and the only section of any one which is at all self-contained is the fourth, or lyrical, movement. So I choose the fourth section out of Little Gidding as the one I think the best. The dove descending breaks the air with flame of incandescent terror, of which the tongues declare the one discharge from sin and error. The only hope or else despair lies in the choice of fire or pyre, to be redeemed from fire by fire. Who then devised the torment? Love. Love is the unfamiliar name behind the hands that wove the intolerable shirt of flame which human power cannot remove. We only live, only suspire, consumed by either fire or fire. I hope this selection I've made for this half hour is a suitable introduction for readers who don't know my poems, but I'm afraid that many of those who do know them will be saying that there's some other poem they'd rather have heard. Well, as it's impossible to take a census of listeners beforehand, and impossible to suit everybody anyway, the best I could do was to follow my own inclinations. So I hope I'm not too far out from what you would have liked me to read you.
Thank you, Mr. Elliott. You've been listening to a special University of Chicago roundtable program presenting the distinguished poet, Mr. T.S. Eliot, reading selections from his own poetry. Mr. T.S. Eliot was introduced by Mr. Morton Dowen Zabel, professor of English of the University of Chicago. We would appreciate having your comments on today's roundtable program. Be sure to write to the University of Chicago Roundtable, Chicago 37, Illinois, giving us your comment. Well, next week, the roundtable will present a discussion of crisis with communist China. Be sure to listen. May we invite you to join the new roundtable home study courses in human rights, world politics, and economics in the modern world. These courses are open to all, and the last two of them are college credit courses. You may enroll and begin at any time. Write the University of Chicago Roundtable for the brochure describing the courses and telling how you may register. Today's program originated from Chicago. The Roundtable is directed by George E. Probst and is a public service presentation of NBC. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.